Hello and welcome to Hindsight. I'm Lorena Allam. Over the 24 years of Indonesia's occupation of East Timor, thousands of babies and children were taken away from their families to live in Java and other parts of Indonesia. They were taken by soldiers, civilians and religious organisations. Many of them grew up never knowing they were East Timorese, and some are still living in Indonesia oblivious to their heritage. But now, as adults, many are returning to East Timor to find their families and their culture. Claudia Taranto worked with Indonesian producer Citra Diaprastuti to tell the story of Timor's lost generation.
Hi, my name is Alexia Cordova.
My name is Alexia Cordova da Silva Ximenes. I was born in Los Palos. My foster parents gave me a very different name. It's Alexia Era Aprilia, no Cordova there. My foster father only told me about the Cordova part after I grew up. My biological parents named me Beatriz da Silva Soares. There's da Silva there. So I'm now Alexia Cordova da Silva Ximenes.
Saturday, June 12, 1992. Jose da Silva Soares is the first party and Suryo Winarno is the second. The first party is giving up his daughter to the second party, a baby named Beatriz da Silva Soares, who was born in Los Palos, April 30, 1992. There's no pressure from any parties, and starting today, Beatriz da Silva Soares is now a foster child of the second party.
When you were given this letter, did you know what it meant?
No, I didn't.
Di doa ibuku namaku disebut dengan lagu, dengan
at Sunday school, small children sing, and my mother's prayers, she calls out my name. Was I in my mother's prayers? Did my mom remember me?
Alexia was taken from her East Timorese family in 1992 by an Indonesian couple, Mr. and Mrs. Winarno. Her mother Sabina will never forget that day.
Every time I saw another mother breastfeeding her baby, I remember my daughter. My breast hurt. I should have breastfed my baby, but I couldn't. My husband asked me to please stop crying. He said our daughter would be fine with her new parents. He cried too.
Alexia was one of an estimated 4,000 children who were taken from East Timor and raised in Indonesia during the 27 years of Indonesian rule. Helene van Klinken has researched hundreds of their stories for her book, Making Them Indonesians.
The children were not all taken at the same time, the same years, or for the same reasons, or by the same sort of people. There were changes over the years. Probably the ones that we think about a lot are the children who were taken by soldiers, because they're more difficult to trace. And they were taken in the earliest years after the invasion by Indonesia, and then especially during the years when people had surrendered or captured and placed in sort of holding camps. They used to call them concentration camps. And in those places, people were not able to move around very easily. It was very difficult for them to get food. Many died in these camps. And there were a lot of separated children in these camps. It didn't mean that their parents were dead, but they were sometimes had become separated from their families, and soldiers took these children, and they also, in these camps, they often forced parents to hand over their children.
Nama saya Victor da Costa.
My name is Victor da Costa. I come from Timor Leste, from Wikeke district.
Victor's parents died during the invasion of East Timor. One day, soon afterwards, he met an Indonesian construction worker inside a church, and this man was to become his foster father.
My foster father told me that when he was stationed in Bagia, East Timor, he saw this little boy.
Apa katanya minta makan atau di
I had a bloated stomach because I was malnourished and I was asking for food. Then he sent his assistant to meet my family and he told them that he was taking me back to Indonesia, that he wanted to look after me.
Did he ask for permission or did he just notify your family?
Saya nggak tahu persis, tapi dia katanya memberitahu.
I'm not sure. My father got a letter from the head of the village, a release order to take me away. At the time, this particular chief didn't allow any Timorese children to be taken from his village, but nevertheless, he gave that letter to my father. I was transferred out, and unfortunately, the letter was lost.
Parents were often asked to sign adoption or surrender letters, letters of surrender of their child. Soldiers needed these letters of surrender because it helped them to obtain help from the government to educate their child because the child was deemed an orphan. I've seen some of these letters and they don't say that the child would be returned, even though the parents claim that soldiers and said that they would return them. And it's not only parents who say that, but I've spoken to district heads who say that the soldiers also said that they would return children. Some of these letters do say that the child has been given up for adoption, but it was done only in the context of one of these camps where there was no legal procedure. So proper legal procedure, even though it was signed by the village heads and military heads, police and so forth, and the parents, but in Indonesian, which they couldn't read.
Nama saya Rafael Urbano Ranger Suarez.
My name is Rafael Urbano Ranger Suarez. I work in the Timor-Leste Health Office in the district of VKK. I came back to Timor-Leste in 2008. In 1977, there were so many poor people in VKK. A lot of them were hiding in the forest. I was the youngest of five.
Nama Ibu Petrolina dari Kabupaten VKK itu.
An Indonesian member of parliament, Mrs. Petrolina, came searching for orphans. My mother was already dead, and I was the youngest child in a big family.
Ada 5 orang di Kabupaten VKK itu.
There were 6 children from VKK, including my cousin Cipriano, who were taken away to Dili in an Indonesian military helicopter. It was like riding a big truck, but it was confusing. How come we were flying so high in the sky? Maybe it was God showing his love for us.
Situasi ekonomi susah, ibu bapa kita belum meninggal.
We came from a poor family, yet we were being given an opportunity to fly in a helicopter. Not everyone gets to do that, but Cipriano and I did.
Termasuk saudara saya, Cipriano.
Nama saya Christina Siti.
My name is Christina Siti.
Waktu itu 92, tapi bulannya saya tidak.
It was 1992. I don't remember the month or the date. I was fetching water with a bucket when I saw my parents with some Indonesian people inside a car. The car stopped in front of my house. Then I asked my mom, "Where is my sister going? How come an Indonesian man is scaring my sister?" My mom said that the Indonesians are taking Alexia as their daughter.
Terus mereka langsung datang, minta katanya mau di apa?
They just say they want to take away my daughter Alexia. They want to adopt her. They were accompanied by a soldier.
40 hari pas 40 hari dia mau.
The Indonesians say that they were going to take care of my daughter.
Di Los Palos baru di.
They gave her a milk.
Kasih susu.
And then the soldiers took us to the Indonesian military base, and we spent a night there.
Ini tinggal di komando.
We had no choice.
Kita tinggal di komando ini. Komando ini malam-malam kamu.
If we made them angry, they could have killed us. What could we do?
Orang Timtim, tapi namanya orang Indonesia.
I am a Timorese, but I have an Indonesian name. My name is Petros Canisius Alegria.
Kalau di Timtim, nama portunya Pedro.
In East Timor, my Portuguese name will be Pedro Canisius Alegria, means happiness. Pedro means rock.
Kalau Pedro, kita tahu bahwa batu karang.
Petrus was living with his brothers in the forest when he was picked up by Indonesian soldiers and taken to an orphanage in Dili. His family were supporters of Fretlin, the East Timorese political party, who were fighting for independence from Indonesia, and he thinks his family's support of Fretlin may be why he was taken away.
Kami tidak, saya tidak bergabung dengan partai.
At that time, I had not joined a political group. I was only 9 years old. But my brother did. He was a member of Fretlin.
Kakak saya waktu itu mengikuti Fretlin. Ya, jadi partai Fretlin, maaf, partai Fretlin.
We all ran away to the forest, and then we were arrested in Maubisi and taken to Aileu. Aileu was the central command of Fretlin. So after the invasion, everyone ran away to hide in the forest. The city was empty.
Dan Aileu sama sekali saya bisa mengatakan hanya ada 7 kepala keluarga saja di sana.
There were only 7 families left. So everyone who had been arrested or giving themselves up to the Indonesian military was put into empty houses in Aileu. There were 150 of us who were sent to Aileu. I lived there with one of my brothers. My other brothers were hiding in the forest.
Lalu sore hari kami dibawa.
And then, one afternoon, I was at home with my little brother, and a military truck came and picked us up. We were taken to Seroya Child Care Institution in Dili, run by Indonesian military.
Saya mau katakan begitu, bukan dipaksa juga tidak. Mereka hanya.
We were not forced. They just said to us that we are going away to continue our studies.
Kami masih kecil, tapi perasaannya takut.
We were just little kids. We were afraid. Nobody knew that we were in Dili. We were caught between life and death, but nobody knew about it. Parents, sisters, brothers, nobody knew. They were all back in Aileu.
Orang tua saya sudah meninggal sebelum tahun 75. Jadi saya sudah memang anak yatim.
The Indonesians always told me that I was taken because my parents died before the war, that I was an orphan, but I didn't believe that story.
We know that the children were taken by particular soldiers because they didn't have children of their own sometimes. Other soldiers had used these children, especially these young boys, as soldiers' helpers. In Indonesian we call them tenaga bantuan operasi. And they used to work for the soldiers, and a lot of them were good workers, and they got food for their families for working for the soldiers. But when the soldiers went back to Indonesia, they often took these young boys with them. They often did this without the consent of the boys themselves and also of their parents and families. I think that they thought the children could continue to work for them, but they were also thinking that, you know, these kids know not a lot about the Indonesian army and how the military works, and if they joined the resistance, they could pass on this information. So it was to take them away from East Timor. But most of the soldiers did educate the children, did send them to school. Very often the children didn't manage very well at school because they'd had such traumatic experiences in their preceding years and they found it difficult to study.
The adoption of East Timorese children by Indonesians wasn't an official government policy. But the government did use some of the orphans as propaganda to convince the Indonesian public that the invasion of East Timor was justified. They were selling the message that they were bringing East Timor out of poverty. Never mind that some of the children were orphaned as a direct result of the invasion. Petrus was in a group of orphans who were taken to meet President Suharto. Photos of them having tea at the presidential palace were shown right across the Indonesian media.
They made us special uniforms. They were brown and yellow. I can't remember exactly. And they gave us special shoes, all to meet the president. At the palace, we were waited on by servants. We ate and drank with the president. I remember President Suharto said that, according to Indonesian law, poor children are taken care of by the state. And he said, "These are my children from East Timor." I was pleased to hear that, but I was also afraid. Would I ever see my family again? Then we sang a song in front of the audience at the palace, but I forgot what the song was. At the time we were happy, but I think they made us happy on purpose because they knew that after a while things will be really miserable for us. We are so far away from our families and surrounded by strangers. We expressed our fears just among ourselves. We were all afraid.
Alexia's foster parents first took her to live with them in the capital of East Timor, Dili. Her sister Christina went with them to care for Alexia. Occasionally, Sabina and her husband were able to visit their daughters.
They treated Alexia really well, but they physically abused me. They treated me just as a helper in their house. It was as though Alexia wasn't related to me.
You were told by the maid of Alexia's foster parents not to come to their house. Why?
Because the child would have known that I was her real mother. This happened to my husband as well. Alexia's foster mother often yelled at my husband, "Hey, Mr. Suarez, don't come here too often." And whenever I came, she yelled at me too.
Dia selalunya datang tu dia tangannya begini dekat.
But my daughter keep coming over to us. She touched her skin against her father's, and she said, "Father, father." Maybe she understood that she had the same skin color as her father.
Eh, itu bukan bapa, itu om.
And then the foster mother would yell at Alexia, saying, "Hey, don't get too close. That's not your father. That's just your uncle."
Bapanya juga, iya, saya itu om.
My husband would say, "Yes, I'm your uncle, not your father."
After 2 years in Dili, Alexia's foster parents went home to East Java and took her with them. She's now a law student in Jakarta.
Maybe there's a good side of being taken away. What future would I have had if I had stayed in East Timor?
Pasti jadi, ya kan? Apalagi dengan keluarga yang berkecukupan.
In Indonesia, I lived in a decent house with my foster parents.
A lot of the children were taken to orphanages and boarding schools run by religious organisations, both Christian and Muslim, like Petrus. After he met the president, he was taken to a Catholic orphanage in central Java, and he lived there for the next 13 years.
Saya sendiri tidak tahu mengapa waktu itu saya tiba-tiba dibawa ke Indonesia.
I don't know why I was taken to Indonesia, but what would have happened if I wasn't taken? I truly don't know. I might never have gone to school, or only up to grade 3. I think this was God's plan.
Saya pikir bahwa semuanya diatur oleh.
I just want to thank the Indonesian government, the people and the nuns that took care of us. but not the military, for what they did for us. A lot of us become successful people today. Many of us went to university and now have permanent positions.
Menduduki juga posisi-posisi yang ya lumayan juga.
Taking the children was meant to help these Timorese, to help them develop. And Indonesia believed that by developing East Timor, they would accept becoming part of Indonesia. The transfer of children is a good lens for looking at this relationship between Indonesians and East Timorese, because we can see that on the one hand, the children were educated, and those who are educated that I've spoken to, they're very grateful for their education. But at the same time, their own rights were not recognised. It was really a colonial relationship where the one with the power believed that they could just... they didn't think about the rights of the other. They just thought that they would do everything for them, and this is how it should be, and that they should accept it. They were backward. They couldn't decide for themselves. And so this is why they felt justified in occupying East Timor, and why they felt justified also, I think, in transferring children. But the trouble is that they didn't think about the consequences for the children themselves and for their families, and what was their circumstances, and how did their families feel about this? And that was never ever taken into consideration. It was more or less, you should be grateful for what we are giving you.
I was active in sport when I was little, and my foster father always stood by me. I was very close to my foster parents. I went to live with my father's sister a couple of times. She didn't have any children. All the family knew that I was taken from Dili. I knew I was adopted. I felt different from the very beginning. Every time I did something wrong, my parents would always bring up my background. It was easy for me to make friends. The whole neighborhood knew our family. Oh, Mr. Siregar is the one who has a Timorese boy, they'd say. They all knew me, and I was very active in sport too.
So being different brought good luck.
Yes, it was a benefit. When I lived with my aunt, I called her mama. She was often asked, how come you have a boy that looks so different? Where did his father come from? Africa? Mama and I just laughed. People stared at me when I was with her because mama has fair skin.
Like Victor, Urbano also felt that he stood out because of his dark skin. He was teased by Indonesian children at the Kinderdorf orphanage in West Java.
I definitely miss my family. I felt sort of peculiar. When we first went to school, we looked different to the other children. People call us Hidung, Hidung, which means you are black. I felt like I was an outcast. How come I was different from my friends?
Selama tinggal di Kinderdorf di Lembang. When you lived in the orphanage in Bandung, in Indonesia, you lived with 20 other Timorese children. Do you feel more Timorese or Indonesian?
Lebih lari ke orang Sundanya.
We felt like we were Sundanese, like we were born in West Java. We adopted so much of the local culture. It's like we were trees and we put down roots in Bandung. The roots grow stronger there. Sometimes we still speak Sundanese. The local people called us black, and to me, we did look like strangers from a faraway land. But we are Sundanese at heart.
Kayak orang jauh, tapi hatinya orang Sunda.
Saya tahu itu dari masa saya kecil. Kayak orang Timor. Saya ini orang Timor asli. Saya yakin itu. Karena
ever since I was a little girl, somehow I knew there was something different about me. I have a rebellious soul. I was so sure that I wasn't my foster parents' real daughter.
Dan Indonesia memang mendukung.
My friends tried to convince me, saying that I really was part of that family. But my brothers, there's like a wall between us. From when I was six, they used to say, hey, you're an adopted child.
Alexia had a complex relationship with her foster family.
At least dia sangat sayang sama saya, ibu saya itu.
My foster mother loved me. When my father passed away, I was the only one in the hospital. My love for this family is tremendous. If people ask me who's your father, I say it's Suryo Winarno. My love for him is so deep.
Sekeras apapun dia, ibaratnya.
My father was tough with me. That was the best way to educate me. I was so hyperactive, and I couldn't decide whether to focus on tennis or school. My father used to slap me and cut me with a razor on the arm. You can see the marks here.
Terus itu mungkin masih ada nih bekasnya. Setiap nggak dapet nilai.
Every time I got less than 9 or 10 in my exams, he'd cut me. So I had to be really clever in class. I never thought of fooling around. No.
Jajan? Oh no. Itu karena kakak-kakak saya sering pukulin saya.
My brothers used to hit me. They knew that my father gave all his inheritance to me after he passed away. 100%. He didn't trust his first son, who's a drug addict, and his second son, who fooled around all the time.
Dia nyatu lah sama darahku gitu.
My father's inside my blood. I made this tattoo secretly because my family was very strict with Islamic rules. The tattoo has his name in all Javanese letters. I hope to find someone like my father again in the future. Someone who can teach me, love me and take care of me again. My father was everything to me.
When we were in the orphanage, we were really close to each other. If we wanted to talk about a secret, we used tattoo. That was how we maintained our identity. We spoke in tattoo all the time. If we want to pick a fight with the other boys, we spoke in tattoo so that the nuns wouldn't find out. The nuns always said, ah, you Timorese boys, you always speak that language. We always sang, Timor Lorosai o Alnyara. But that was a long time ago.
Does that song make you sad?
Tidak juga, tapi...
Not really. But if I sing it now, it will only remind me of my past. It's better not to sing it. The song always reminds us of our homeland, of our parents and friends who were killed during the war, of our friends we were taking to Java while their parents were still hiding in the forest. And then when they returned, nobody was left behind. When we live in the orphanage, people would always ask us to sing that song. We could never finish it, just one line, two lines, and we start to cry.
Ingat banyak hal. Ingat banyak hal.
It reminds us of so many things that we could not tell anybody. Murders, people were killed right in front of our eyes.
Nyanyi itu kalau saya tampilkan itu nanti.
I cry easily. That's why I don't want to sing that song.
Cepat keluar juga.
What did the lyrics say?
Tentang persatuan.
It's about situation in East Timor, about unity for those who are still in Timor, to not forget the people who are in the dark times. We interpret the dark times as our life.
Nyanyian inilah yang kami buat sendiri.
Then we create our own song to keep up our spirits. We were cheering ourselves on to study hard.
Jadi kita datang sini mau cari anak.
Did we came here to enjoy our lives, to eat well, to drink well? No. The only reason we were here was to study.
Ya, ini sudah melekat dalam jiwa kami.
After we finished study, whatever happened, we had to go back to our homeland.
Malu foti mitarai
moro ang tasi balu keta haluha mai hamu tu fila pali foti tarai.
When he was 18, Victor joined a political party in Jakarta that was opposed to the Suharto government. This led him on a path back to East Timor to find his family.
Yang teringat saya ingin waktu itu ingin pulang, saya waktu masuk penjara.
I was jailed for my political activism, and being locked up made me want to go home even more. I met Janana Gusmao and other friends from Timor in jail. I felt like I was a part of them. That motivated me to go back. But I didn't have any money. I just kept that dream in my mind.
Itu yang membuat motivasi terus mendorong saya harus kembali. Tapi waktu itu saya.
Then in 2004, I decided to come home to find my family. By then, I was 34 years old.
Izin dari kantor, saya bilang saya cuti dulu.
I took a month off from the office to trace my family. My friends at the office weren't sure I'd find them because I'd been in Jakarta for too long.
Terus makanya kemarin saya pulang.
That's why I decided to go home, to make sure that my family was still alive.
Merasa enggak dicari sama keluarga itu luar biasa sakitnya.
I was extremely hurt inside. My heart was deeply broken because nobody was searching for me. If a child goes missing for 24 hours, the mother would be distressed. She'd be calling, texting, but that didn't happen for 18 years. It's unbelievable. For 18 years, I lived with a question. I lived in sorrow.
Kalau ibu ke gereja, berdoa kepada Tuhan.
When you went to church and prayed to God, what did you ask God for?
Ya, doa itu kan harus minta Tuhan.
We ask God for everything. Please, God, return my Dora to me. She is my flesh and blood.
Balikan dia punya hati, dia punya mam.
Tapi kalaupun ibu saya masih hidup, masa saya enggak ketemu ibu saya? Cukup untuk
I wanted to see my mother so badly. She was still alive. I wanted to meet her, hold her and hug her.
Buat seorang anak
touch my skin against hers. Wow.
Sangat berarti.
As a discarded child who's been separated from her parents, that would have meant the world to me.
I know a lot who back in East Timor who are still looking for their families. There's one young man who only found out about his parents in 2003 when he was already nearly 18. It was hard for him to accept at first that he had that he didn't belong to these parents who he had all his life regarded as his own parents. That was a shock for him, and I think that is the case for people who find out that these people who've raised them are not their own parents. That the whole story of their lives has been manipulated, and that they have another set of parents who also long to know them and miss them very much. Some family of one young girl, they always set a table for her in the hope and the belief that one day that she would come back to them, which she did after about 20 years.
Papa, I belum meninggal.
My father told me the truth when he was dying in the hospital. I was 16 years old. Your mother is in Los Palos.
Los Palos? Los Palos, hello?
Los Palos, hello? I couldn't even find it on Google.
Menyedihkan.
I was miserable. Where is that place exactly? On Mars? Or somewhere else? I didn't know. I had no idea. But somehow I always had a hunch that I was Timorese.
But just, I know I'm Timorese. From my skin, from my face, even a lot of people of Timorese, they were thinking about just, you are not Timorese, you're just like Arabic, Cuban, or another that. But just, I think I'm Timorese.
Saya kalau naik mobil sudah ke Pantai Kelapa.
Every time I went to Coconut Beach in Dili, I thought about my Dora. This is where she used to live. But I didn't know where she was after she left Dili. If she lived long enough, the spirit of her great-grandmother would take care of her and bring her back to me.
Apa yang dilakukan?
How did you start searching?
Yang di Google.
On the internet, I googled.
Karena aku juga basic hukum.
Well, I used my legal training. I searched for missing people in Timor Leste, but I found ridiculous blogs.
Saya menyampaikan dengan nada yang biasa aja karena.
I can tell you all about this now in a flat tone, but back then, to be honest, I felt like I wanted to punch the Timor Leste government in the eye.
Dan kalau sumpamanya bisa dibilang lost generation, gitu kan? Lost generation.
Because we were only children. We were Timor's lost generation. I understand that Timor has other generations, but are we worth searching for? If I didn't search for my family, I would never have been found. My family wouldn't have tried to find me.
Mencari tidak, tapi
we didn't look for her. But my mother always remembered her.
Saya punya adik laki-laki satu, dia sering sebut nama Alexia.
We have a little brother who often asks what happened to his sister, who was taken by the Indonesian couple. We lost connection with her.
Kalau mama, ya, kalau mama setiap.
If my mother heard him saying anything like that, she would become very sad immediately. Once, she fainted because she missed Alexis so badly. She asked us not to mention Alexis' name anymore if we wanted to see her alive.
Apakah karena itu kemudian lantas
is that why the family didn't search for her?
No, it's not that. We didn't have an exact address to start with.
Bukan keluarga tidak mau mencari ya, tapi karena memang tidak ada alamat.
I knew they were in Ponorogo, but I was so little back then. And Indonesia isn't the same as Dili. It's huge.
Jadi saya tidak tahu alamat persisnya di mana. Saya hanya tahu Ponorogo.
I just knew that Ponorogo is in East Java, nothing more.
An Indonesian soldier who was stationed in East Timor one day visited St. Thomas's orphanage in Central Java. Petrus gave him a letter addressed to his brother to take back to his hometown of Aliu in East Timor. His family quickly wrote back.
When I received my first letter back from my family, I felt really overwhelmed. They said they were thinking I was dead.
Isunya bahwa saya meninggal.
And then suddenly they got my letter.
Berlibur ke Tim-Tim, uang juga tidak ada. Kita sudah tahu di keadaan di Tim-Tim.
They could not come to visit me here. It's hard to find money in Timor. So I just stayed in Java for a while.
Saya mulai berkirim tentang keadaan pendidikan saya.
I told them about my studies here. I was in senior high school back then. I told them about the orphanage.
Lalu hal lain yang saya tekan mereka.
And then I told them not to send me letters regularly because I could not concentrate on my studies. All I could think about was East Timor. If they sent too many letters, I could have failed my exams.
For ordinary people living very far in remote areas who didn't have any influence, it was almost impossible because they had no way of being able to look for their children. But for people who had some influence and perhaps education, it was somewhat easier for them. They were able to approach maybe Indonesian soldiers and ask for information about their children, which before 1999, they were never given any information. But some of them reported to the international Committee of the Red Cross asking for help to find their children, but children who were taken. But the Indonesians, the military, never cooperated and still doesn't seem to cooperate with requests for finding missing children.
Osorio Soares, orang Panedo. Yalah.
I met Osorio Soares on Facebook. He's a politician from Timor who helped me find my family. Then I found Edmundo. He was the head of the Los Palos district where I was born. He came to see me. Then while I was waiting, I got no calls, no positive response, until suddenly I got a phone call saying, Alexia, you have to come right now. There's Zanana Guzmão who wants to see you. Whoa, I know Zanana Guzmão.
Saya tahu Zanana Guzmão. Itu aja yang ada di pikiran saya. Saya tahu Zanana Guzmão.
I heard that Alexia was coming home from the daughter of the head of Los Palos district. I went to her place. I took all the documents with me. And then I went to Dili. I saw Alexia. She was being interviewed by local media. Alexia asked, "Are you mama?" I said, "Yes, I'm mama." I was trying to call her by her old name, Ira, but she didn't recognize that name anymore. At first, Alexia was furious with me. I just stood quietly and looked down and cried. She asked, "Why did you sell me?" I replied that I didn't sell her. I asked her to contact her foster mother to come here and tell her that I didn't sell my daughter.
I look exactly like my mom. It's just like looking in a mirror.
Jadi benar-benar aneh satu keluarga ini.
It's funny because in my real family, no one else looks like my mom, just me. And I was the one given away to another family. Having the same face as my mother has been the key to coming home.
The whole time I was living with my foster parents, I used to think, where are my real parents? How can I meet them? My foster father. He told me that my father was a Fretilin soldier. He was a tall man.
Do you have any pictures?
No, I haven't seen any pictures of him. I asked my foster father, but he said that photos weren't available at that time. He just told me that my real father was tall and he was shot dead in the forest. My mother passed away because she was ill. That's all I knew about my real parents.
Tapi akhirnya waktu yang membawa saya.
It took me quite a long time to finally go home. God gave me a way to go back in 2004 to find my roots.
Begitu sampai,
I was so happy to set foot in East Timor after years of not coming home. But I was also confused. I didn't know where to go, who to meet. I wanted to find my family, but who could I ask?
24 December 2004.
It was Christmas Eve. I went to the office of HAK Foundation, an NGO in Dili. I made friends there with Oscar. I told him that I came from Bagia, that my mother was Maria, and my father was Alberto. Oscar made some phone calls, then asked me, did I have a brother named Batista? I said, yes.
Ah, kamu ini masih keluarga saya.
And then he said, "Hey, we're family."
Muncul perasaan itu muncul.
I'd always had this feeling inside me. Are my family in East Timor going to accept me as family? Will they recognize my face? Will they accept me for who I am? That bothered me a lot.
2004 itu dilarang, saya enggak boleh.
On that visit, I wasn't allowed to enter my hometown because I was considered dead by my family. They believed that if I returned to the village, I would have died immediately. I wanted to see my mother's grave, but I couldn't go anywhere near it.
Because of the grave that his family had made for him, Victor wasn't able to visit his village on that first trip back to East Timor. He had to return to Jakarta and save up the money to pay for the ritual that his family would perform that would bring him back to life. Only after the ritual could he return to the village and meet them for the first time.
For East Timorese, for people who are missing, they often make a grave for them. write their names on a name on a tombstone, to call the spirit back or to let the spirit find rest in their place of origin. And so a child who'd been removed, very often the parents did this because they believed the worst. They believed that the child had had died. And so, yeah, this caused problems when people did return, actually.
Yeah. Rasa sedih dan marah. Marahnya, kenapa saya dibikin kuburan?
I felt sad and angry. I was angry that they built a grave for me. Why didn't they look for me?
Alasan mereka susah, waktu itu kondisi sulit.
But they said the situation back then was different. It was a difficult time. They didn't know where and how to find me. They asked me to understand the circumstances that had separated us.
Ya, rasanya senang dan campur sedih lah.
I felt happy and sad at the same time because I'd never seen my real parents. They were both deceased.
Saya merasa kultur saya hilang.
I feel like I've lost my cultural roots. I feel so much like an Indonesian.
Bahasa ngerasa Tetum enggak bisa.
I don't speak Tetum or my tribe's language. When I'm with my real family, I just listen to them.
Karena enggak bisa bahasa Tetum, enggak bisa bahasa suku.
I don't talk much. I can't even laugh with them. That's hard.
They've become Indonesians and they speak Javanese or whatever language, wherever they are, and even those who knew that they came from East Timor, they find it now quite difficult to go back to East Timor because they've found a home in Indonesia. Many of them have married and have their own children in Indonesia, so it's very difficult for them to go back. But they still want to know. That's my experience, that they still want to know about their families back in East Timor.
I felt like this is where I was born. And suddenly my tears were there when the boat reached the port in Dili.
Oleh pemerintah kami diberi kesempatan untuk pergi.
It was late 1986. The Indonesian government took us back to East Timor on Christmas Day. We were there for 1 week.
Perasaan saya waktu itu merasa
terharu. I felt so overwhelmed and happy when I first arrived in Dili.
Menurut Anda penting nggak sih bagi anak-anak itu untuk?
Do you think it's important for Timorese children to know their roots?
Dia adalah di Timor Leste.
Karena dari kecilnya juga kita tidak tahu siapa yang.
We were children. At the time, we didn't know who took us to Indonesia. We were taken by a government institution, and they brought us home.
Dan bisa kembali ke Tinti.
But there are others
sedangkan
who were taken by police officers, soldiers, civilians.
Oleh tentara, oleh polisi, ada civil tidak tahu. Tidak apa-apa, mau tinggal di Tinti.
Now that they are adults, they can choose to stay in Indonesia or go back to East Timor.
Dupla keluarga negara orang Tinti memiliki.
They can also choose which nationality they want. It's a political choice.
Petrus and Urbano were both raised in orphanages in Indonesia, and they both returned to East Timor to live and work. The East Timorese government is doing what it can to encourage the missing generation to return permanently. Most of them are better educated than their East Timorese peers, and they're making a contribution to the development of their homeland. But for Alexia and Victor, who were both adopted by Indonesian families, they're still making up their minds about where is home.
It's a big problem for me. I've been thinking about this for a while. I feel that Indonesia is the place for me to live, to grow. I'm used to the culture. It's different with Timor. I have to start from zero, with a different character and culture. That's a problem for me. I want to return there. Perhaps in another 10 years.
Yeah, Kalau saya di Jakarta, maka salah satu yang saya...
One of the reasons I stay in Jakarta is my work with the NGO Kontras. We help people like me from East Timor to find their families. It's something I feel I need to do. We face a lot of obstacles, but we're trying our best to help them.
Yang membangun diri seseorang itu kebiasaan. Saya terbiasa hidup di Indonesia.
People are shaped by their habits, and I'm used to living in Indonesia. If I ever come back to live in Timor Leste, I'd have to learn to love it.
Karena Timor ini baru ketemu dengan.
To be honest, Timor has only just found me.
Ibarat kayak pacar lah, kita belajar kan untuk mencintai dia.
It's like when you're in a relationship, you have to learn how to love your boyfriend. It's a process I have to go through. I'm sure I'll go back to East Timor one day though, because they've given me a scholarship to finish my university studies.
Lorong mata maksefo niana roma fulan hofi tumos sena roma hori foroman warati mor hori aturu lorong okalan atunure timoroan moriso hakmate. Tasi luan hofo bote bezdumi udang bentu hosikalohan habo koraine betung bamota sulile morai hosirai ulu toraiku atunune sefo moris ai harai timornia. Rati mo, how more is bad. Rai nebe, how ram fakar fatin. How more is emate ho. Maski susar mo su oyo inma ho. Ita tenki abura esta. I hati mo hori ado kita osi susar mosu oyoy ma turune ita sela terusa oh hati mo aturune ita sela tanista oh hati mo aturune hori mori sodami
Yago Lemos with Peace for Timor. Today's feature was produced by Chitra Dia Prastuti and Claudia Taranto, with technical production by Louis Mitchell. For photos and details about all the people you heard today, head to the Hindsight webpage at abc.net.au/radionational and follow the links to Hindsight.